Welcome to the Path of Power with Galexis, the group of many who speak as one. And here to introduce you to Galexis is the channel, Ginger Metro.
Hello, and welcome to the Path of Power with Galexis. My name is Ginger Metro, and I channel Galexis, a group of beings from many levels and dimensions who speak as one. They will be bringing you an important message today, and then taking your questions on topics of interest to you. Shortly, I'll go into trance, and then Galexis will be with you. Once the message is over, you can call to ask a question. The number to call in on will be 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And this is if you're in the U.S. or Canada. And you can check the BBS radio page on Channel 1 for other lines available. And for more information on Galexis or to get on the mailing list for newsletters and more, go to our website, galexisspirit.com, and that's spelled GalexisSpirit.com. Now I'm going to be going into trance, and there will be a quiet moment, a few seconds of silence, and then Galexis will be with you. And so goodbye for now, and I'll return at the end of the program. All right, we are here, and we are Galexis. Welcome. Well, here we are at the beginning of a new month, a month of September. Now, one of the interesting things about this month is that this is a month of transformation. If those of you who are listening to us have listened over the past time or two, you know we've been talking about the experiences of that great shift, the portal, the split, as we call it, that happened on the eclipse. And from that experience, people have chosen whether to have a future of abundance and more wealth and financial capacity, or a tendency to go along with the consensus, whichever direction it may take you, up and down and all around, depending on the mood of the market. Or perhaps for those who are looking at fear, going into more of a darker phase or more of a limited or scarce period. We also talked, and that was 2 weeks ago, last time we spoke with you, we talked about the fears of the future and about overcoming those fears. September now has arrived, a new energy, an energy we would call a transformation, an opportunity this month to kind of let go of the rest of those limitations, to establish and entrench yourself in the new energies, the new positive and expanded self-image of you being natural and very comfortable with more abundance, more financial prosperity. And in order to do this, you must let go of the pieces of the past that keep nagging at you, that keep jerking at you, that keep pulling at you. Pieces of the past that will show themselves as fears about the future. That, yes, we talked about last time. But also, some of you are addicted to fear. You feel you need fear, otherwise you won't seem to have an orientation to your life, that you use fear as a way to keep you present, to keep you focused, to keep you doing something and feeling empowered somehow about your life, because if you know what all your fears are, then if you kind of put them on a list and you check them off, say, yeah, I'm adjusting and preparing in case of that, and I can do this and do that. You think that maybe you'll be prepared. But you see, a lot of times when you do it that way, The problem is that the adjustments that you make, or the preparations that you make, just in case of the worst case scenario, can also be an emphasis on a worst case scenario. And so some of you don't know how to proceed in creating a future without bringing in fear as your advisor. Now, we would suggest that in this month of transformation, this would be an ideal time for you to go on what we would call a vision quest, a quest to look out who you are in the grander scheme of things, to find your place in your future, to see the person that you wish to be 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road, to dream it, to imagine it, to get a new motivation for your life. And that means you have to let go of those addictions to old motivations and old ways of being. Now, old motivations generally are organized and oriented around fulfilling obligations. Okay, that's, you know, something that a reliable, trustworthy, responsible person does. They fulfill their obligations. We're not suggesting, dear one, that you throw your obligations out the window, nor do we suggest that you shirk your duties. Nor do we suggest that you become suddenly irresponsible and decide to play and not do what you know you must do. What we are suggesting, however, is for you to allow this month to be a time not to take on more of those duties and obligations. Yes, those are some that you have to do, you've promised to do, you've agreed to do. But give yourself a break of adding more layers on. Give yourself a break from that. Do what you must, yes, but don't just keep adding stuff. Secondly, we would suggest that you look out the addictions that you do have, the addictions to using fear as a way of getting an orientation to your life. And think about, what would it be like if instead of fear as your orientation, that fun were your orientation? Now, we're not talking irresponsible fun. We're talking about a fun that is a part of adventurous discovery about your life, exploring your life, enjoying your life, having a good time with people who touch you, who you feel good about, people who you love and you care about, not people that necessarily that you have obligations to. Yes, some of the people you love, you're tremendously obligated to. But it's a time to celebrate the love part, not the obligation part, you see? To focus on the fun and the joyousness, to play a little bit amongst the work, rather than prioritizing the work to the expense of your fun and your joy. It's important this month to balance yourself. Thirdly, if you have any kind of physical addictions, it may be important for you to look at those as well. Because most of the time, physical addictions such as alcohol and food, gambling, things like that, that physically you put your actions into, you throw your physical body into, you know are not beneficial for your physical health. Yet, there generally are a method of ignoring, denying, or numbing out pain. So to release them, look at what is the emotional pain that might still be there. Now, if you don't have an addiction, fortunately you don't have to go through this one, but if you do find yourself once again needing that drink at the end of the day, just so that you can relax, so that you can de-stress yourself, or that urge to eat those comfort foods, to get that kind of chemical hit or high in your brain, or somehow or another to give you that sense of value and adventure that comes when you go and you shop and you buy way too much than you need, or that just incredible excitement, that fever that comes in gambling. For you to look at that, if you have those kinds of things, to look at them. What are you running from? What is the pain you're trying to balance or ignore, deny, or numb out, or extinguish? Look at the pain. Go deep into it. Because hidden in that pain, very often, are feelings within yourself, deep feelings within yourself, perhaps, of insecurity, or anger, or sorrow, or more fear. Feelings that you're not comfortable with, feelings of judgment, that come from judgment, feelings of shame or inadequacy. Look at them. Look at these feelings. And remind yourself of who you are, the reality creator, the one who's here on a mission of light and purpose. Remind yourself that you're here to express your light, not to be burdened, not to be in pain. Pain does not serve you, nor does it serve anyone else. Pain held within you does not keep you from having a bad life. It does not really do its job in keeping other people from being offended if you keep your mouth shut. You'll not feel more powerful if you stuff it or use one of your outlets of addiction. So look at it and forgive yourself for having played with that, for having carried the pain, and express it somehow. Express your pain. Write it in a journal. Make a story out of it. See it as a drama. See it as a story, and not a story that necessarily you must own as who you are, but a story of something you have experienced in your life. And if there are any people in your life that you have not forgiven, that you have not released, release your sorrow, release your anger at them in meditation. Forgive them. It's time for you to go on. It's time for you to move on. Time to forgive yourself for falling for the weakness of whatever addiction you may feel that you possess. And then finally, we would suggest this month a time to connect with who you choose to be in the future, to claim it, to claim your spiritual power, to claim who you are. Even if you don't really believe it yet, start by claiming it. In order to do that, every day, own, hey, I am a spark of consciousness. I am divine by my very nature. I am worthy. I'm powerful. I am a creator, co-creating with the divine. I am in this illusion of physical plane reality, my playground. This is what I have chosen to create at this time. I'm willing now to create something more grand, more beautiful, something new. If you need a reminder, always go to our website, galexisspirit.com, and on that homepage will be a quote from us, a message. If you read that every day, it can reconnect you. It can remind you of your divinity and who you are. This is a month you can shift from being the person you were into being the person you are becoming. And in that, you can reestablish or anchor the decisions, positive choices that you made back at the eclipse to move into more beauty and more power and more success. And it can also reinforce your power in the world to help heal your world, to help heal your planet, to help heal the issues that are there. It's a time of great opportunity, time where you may be challenged, but also a time in which you can lift and expand who you are. All right, we're going to open the lines up for questions at this time. We want to remind you, you are a powerful being. You are someone who is worthy. Why not give yourself a month of transformation? The number to call, 877-876-5227. So give us a call if you have a question about this or any other topic of interest to you. Remember, you're on a path of power. You're on a path of light. Your job here is to be the brightest light that you can be. This is a year, a whole year, than which you have been detoxing. You've been cleaning the past. Why not be done? Why not let it go now? Don't let yourself be dragged down by it any longer. You can be the new person. All right. So we have a caller. Hello.
Hello, Galaxis. How are you?
Very good, dear one, and we're speaking with you.
Yes, this is Brian from Indiana.
Oh, yes. Hello, dear Brian.
How are you, my friend?
All right, very good. And what would you like to discuss today?
Just to go back, to refresh my mind. Also, what we were talking about before, about with Brian, being able in the future here to be able to slip in and out to into fifth dimension.
Yes.
Into back into third dimension.
Yes.
And my question to you, dear friend, is this more of taking my physical body into fifth dimensional reality, or is this more as more etheric?
Right at this time, it's more etheric. You're
okay.
Not ready to take your physical body there. If you
yeah.
were to take your physical body there by some accident, which will not happen, but
yeah.
if you were to do that, it would dissolve. You're not ready yet. No, what you do is,
yes.
first of all, you've got to go energetically.
Okay.
So that you have an idea what that frequency is. Gradually,
yes.
you can introduce that frequency to your mental body, to your emotional body. But first, you have to go there in your etheric or their spiritual or psychic body.
Yes, it seems like they do a lot of that traveling in dream time.
Well, that's true. But
yes.
we also want to point out that in dreams, that unless you are in a lucid dream in which you know you're dreaming and which
yes.
you're in your power in the dream to be able to effectively shift and change that dream at will, you are working in your subconscious and unconscious minds. And the most important thing here on the psychic level, if you're going to make connection with fifth dimension, is
yes.
that, and this is the critical key, because most people have been able to make that a connection through their subconscious and unconscious mind in the realm of dreams. But now is the time, the first time,
yes.
in millennia, in the planet, that people can put their conscious mind into connection with fifth dimension. You see?
Is this pure willpower of the mind? How does that, it's just the connection. Is it a memory of the past? How do we do that?
No, there's no memory of the past involved. What it is allowing yourself to open the grander portals of your imagination. To imagine beyond
yeah.
what seems to be normal, obvious,
okay.
the usual belief limitations that you have been accepting to date.
Yeah.
What if
yeah.
you were to break your belief limitations? What if you were able to live outside of any limitations or restrictions that you have felt yourself having to live within, almost as an imprisoning or limiting effect? What if you
yeah.
had total, complete freedom to create who, what you wanted to be and what you wanted to do, and what person would you be there?
Mm.
What person would you be if you had no limits?
Mm. I'd be one that could dream the impossible, one who just... That's the imagination going beyond the belief.
That's
really
correct. That's it.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The one who can in a sense, dream a future that's not here yet.
Hmm.
You see?
I see.
Now, there have been rare people who can do this, who have done this. You have them as probably great philosophers or inventors or people who are dreamers of great magnitude. You have people who can conceptualize on broader levels than others before them. You know, for example, like Einstein.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, Einstein was light years ahead of others. You know, figuratively speaking. But the thing is that where did he get it? Yes, maybe he touched it in a dream, but he brought it into his conscious mind. You see, and then he began to play with it, and he began to stretch possibility and to stretch his imagination. What could be possible? Let me go beyond what everybody thinks is possible. As you know, that any type of dreamer that goes beyond the possible, there's going to be all sorts of naysayers going to step up and say, oh, gosh, he's in la-la land. He's in some kind of fantasy, you know. Or feel threatened by it. Oh, my gosh, we've got to get rid of him.
Yeah.
You know. It's like a friend of ours said something we thought was very funny. If Jesus was here today, he'd be probably put in a mental institution and given Prozac, right?
You know, that's kind of funny, but you do speak on the yes, that is divine truth. It would be in a way like that. The thing is, what I'm trying to grasp that also, Galexis, when you're saying going beyond the belief, you're really, you truly are talking about going beyond the belief. It's like when the Nazarene walked the earth 2,000 years ago, and when he walked on water, it's like one of his disciples actually saying he sees the master, and they decide to walk on water. So it is possible. It's just, it's like, it's almost like seeing is believing, but
yes,
it's also beyond it,
Believing is seeing.
Hmm.
You know, his core disciples were given the secrets. They were given the mysteries.
Hmm.
Now,
so
what you have in the religion today, in the Christian religion today, has lost the mysteries. It's lost the secrets.
It seems like it was out of more control.
Well, yes. And that came in a little bit later. But the thing is that those who were there with him in the inner circle were given the way to break beyond the beliefs. Those who were in a bit of a wider circle who were not in the inner circle but were, in a sense, a wider circle, like you have a circle of your best friends and then you have acquaintances.
Right, right.
There were a lot of people who came to Jesus, who came to listen to his sermons, his messages, and they were uplifted. And they were uplifted by the love and the possibility.
Because they raised the consciousness.
Oh, he did. That's what he did. He raised the consciousness, and they began to look at possibility. But they were not ready to break belief.
Yeah.
They were not ready to step across that threshold.
It seemed like even the religious leaders of the day wanted to hold that, which suppressed that in a way.
Well, the religious leaders...
Something was radical, something new, different. They were afraid of that time. They were afraid of new ideas. And I see it repeating in a way today, but I see where you're... I see
right, but has it changed? No. There are people who are afraid of going beyond belief today, too, because belief is your boundary of the comfortable, of the familiar. And beyond that, it's scary as all get out, because it's the chaos, it's the unknown. How many people embrace and love change? Well, virtually no one.
Yeah.
You know, although most people are at every given moment in some process of change that they have initiated. But at the same time, they're scared of it.
Yes.
You see.
And that's why we've come back again and again, is to try to push at that boundary and breaking free and raising the vibration of the planet.
Well, we're not so certain that people do it in that kind of consecutive, linear reincarnational form.
Okay.
But nevertheless, one of the things that you have come to do, you, Brian, as well as others who are happen to be listening today, have come to basically break the old paradigm.
Yes.
And whether you've had many lifetimes or only maybe one other one, or maybe this is the only one you've had in who knows how long, nevertheless, this is a lifetime where you have to come into the old paradigm and bust out of it. And you have to be courageous to do that.
And it seems like that Lemurian frequencies, you know what I mean? It just seems like coming at this time is from Sirius. It's just breaking free, bringing that information through.
Yes, it is. If you can draw on resources that are beyond the limits, you see, the Sirions are beyond fifth dimension now. They're fifth and up.
Okay.
They don't have to have physical form any longer because they don't have to work with their dementia.
Yeah, they don't come up against the forces like we still are going up against. Yes.
Right. Well, you actually, they learned that you're not going up against anything.
So
and that's one of the beliefs
that
you have.
The illusion. Yes.
That's part of the illusion is that that there's resistance.
Mm-hmm.
But the resistance comes from within you.
I understand. It's always
you see, and once you let go completely of that resistance, you can dream yourself to the other side. But it takes, it's an ongoing, and it's a process of piece by piece as you build confidence in being able to shift your vibration, then you're able to bring more and more of yourself into that other side.
I understand now. I understand.
All right.
The meditation is playing a big key in that, too. Is the dreaming
yes, it's in meditation
stage.
That most people consciously experience their subconscious.
That's what I was going to ask real quick about, Alexis, before I let you go here, is when I'm in the deep meditation and I'm feeling that spinning and the spinning sensation, am I coming to a point of the void where it's just totally letting go? Am I getting close?
All right. If you go into the type of meditation where you completely let go, in other words, you stopped your mind chattering, right?
Yeah.
If you go in that type of meditation, which is actually very quiet, it's a very silent, clean, clear, pure, essential meditation. When you go to that type of place, if you can hold it for a little while, you can have an experience of the beyond.
Okay.
But most people find, virtually everyone, it's very few people who have been able to hold their mind still. But
so
you have a lot
practice.
Of people who work at it,
and
they just can't because the program in your culture is to think all the time.
All the time, exactly.
And not think anything of importance, just chatter, chatter, chatter all the time.
I see. So it takes the willpower, the confidence to calm the mind and to practice.
Well, sometimes you have to make a little bargain with your mind. Because you see, you know, when you sit down to meditation, you can notice how active it can get.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm hungry, I want to go eat. Oh, you didn't, you know, maybe I need to go to the bathroom again. Oh, maybe I need to think about what I'm going to be doing later today. Oh, maybe I need to resolve this issue that I had with this person that didn't get finished yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, the
yeah.
mind's going to go anywhere.
Hmm.
All right, so the important thing we would suggest is that if you're going to attempt to still the mind, you have to, you know, give it a carrot. In other words, you can say, okay, look, mind, I'm going to sit here, and if you'll be quiet for a little while, and the quieter that you get, the shorter this meditation will be, and then what we will do is we will then go to the kitchen, and we will eat this food you want to eat. All right?
That's true.
You see, negotiate with it. Let it know that you're not abandoning it.
Yeah.
You see, almost as if it were a parcel. And
yeah,
say, okay, look, you do this for me, and then I'll do that for you, okay? And then we'll go, we'll process that issue from yesterday, and we'll do this, and, you know, sketch out what we're going to do later today, and we'll think about that, and we'll make that phone call, and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, but now, let's quiet just for a little while, and then I'll give you all those goodies later.
I see.
And sometimes that can help. Also, you will notice that if you're trying to quiet your mind, that there's several levels of thought that have to be delayered. There's the chatter, chatter, conscious thought on top. But there's going to be thoughts that are part of the ocean of the subconscious continuously reaffirming your beliefs and attitudes and reaffirming the state of your identity, reaffirming your emotional body's normal, average feeling. It's just going to continue it underneath it all. And this part will also make subtle comments about your meditation. And if you can take off this chatter at the top without judging it now.
Right, exactly.
See, a lot of people judge it.
Without judgment. Yeah.
No judgment, because if you judge something, then it'll fight you. So yeah. What you do is you just release the judgment. No judgment about the chattery brain, you know. Just let it relax. And then you go to the next layer, which is a more subtle layer. And it's a more kind of consistent. For some people, it's like a muddy stream of energy. I'll just go to that layer and then quiet that layer down.
Mm.
You may find even a layer underneath that.
Yeah.
Generally, after about three layers, if you can get about three layers down, you can then get to a place of silence. I would say there's only a handful of people on the planet that can do this consistently.
Wow.
Maybe about, right now, maybe three, maybe fourth one is getting there.
Interesting.
All right. So recognize, and these are the people who become the realized masters. Now, that's one way to get there. But another way to get there is to channel the mind in a different way.
Yes.
In other words, to bring up the conscious and subconscious minds, bring up that second and third level, as well as the first level, to evaluate them and to clean them up and put them in alignment together.
With the chakra system?
No. You can just do it from a point of view of mind.
Oh, okay.
What you do is you take the chattery mind, and you hear what it says as your feedback, appreciate it, utilize it, and then you go to the next level and take that feedback. Oh, okay. And you make choices about how you would prefer or what you prefer to feel and think and experience and be and so on. And then you negotiate with the minds. You may negotiate with your...
Yeah,
you talk to them. You talk to your conscious mind. You personify it. You personify your subconscious. You personify your unconscious mind.
Is that connecting with spirit then?
Well, that will come in. But first of all, if you can kind of get yourself really connected to them, because most people ignore most of it.
Yes, they do.
It just becomes kind of a background noise. It's a drone. It's kind of like Muzak.
Yes, yes.
It's just tuned out, but it goes all day long. It's just tuned out. The thing is, if you pay attention to it, it will slow down. You will focus on it more.
Yes.
Then you can also negotiate with it some, so that it is alignment. Not to negotiate its silence, but to negotiate its energy focus, its purpose, its function.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
So instead of just chattering stuff, okay, you're telling me limiting beliefs, okay, let's look at those and let's make different choices. All right, here's what I'd like for you to do now, is I want you to repeat after me. I choose this positive belief now. You see, you start working with them. And that's, you know, personal empowerment generally works with that and takes everything that happens in your physical plane reality as feedback and uses that deliberately and consciously.
Yes.
So that you become the master of your mind, master of your thoughts. Controlling them, not dominating them.
Exactly.
But co-creating and working with them and healing them and freeing them and cleaning them.
When Brian, the being of Brian, takes the command, the lead, saying, coming from a place of I am, that is standing in the power of I.
What's that?
When I'm kind of coming from the place of Brian, the being Brian, standing and claiming my divinity, standing in the power of I am, that is really everything else will follow.
Well, yes, but you have to know how to apply it, okay?
Okay.
All right, dear one, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, dear. Thank you, and God bless.
All right. Okay, and so what we would like to do now is to open the lines up for another caller. And again, the number is 877-876-5227. And as Brian was pointing out, you know, the journey to consciousness is one in which you can work consciously to build your path of power, to step on your path of power, to own your power, to own who you are, and apply that in your daily life. Now, there are other paths. The path that most people are associated with the Eastern religions, has been the path of silence, to silence what they call the monkey mind. All right, we have a new caller. Yes? Hello?
Hello, Gracie.
Hello. Welcome.
Hi. This is Reginald.
Hello, Reginald.
Hi. And my question is, I know I'm 19 years old, and I know I'm an old soul, and people always tell me I'm an old soul. And I was just wondering, you tell me, how many lifetimes have I been here? Because I feel like I've been here a lot.
Well, yes, you have. You have. So when people say you're an old soul, they really are seeing that you have tremendous amount of experience. You have brought with you into this lifetime tremendous amount of wisdom. And you've gotten that through the experience of many lifetimes. Now, we want to also point out that that doesn't necessarily mean that these lifetimes are quote-unquote real. Okay? See, a lot of people think the physical plane is real, but it's not. It's really an illusion. Now, a lot of people who want to really understand how to be here on the planet, how to have a greater wisdom, how to express themselves with more authority, with more love and more beauty and truth on this, in this lifetime, sometimes will also add what we call imprints of lifetimes. In other words, you will, in a sense, see a video of other lifetimes, say, oh, look, here's the experience of that, and it'll be like a virtual reality thing. You'll step into it and go, this is what that feels like, and you'll gain the wisdom of these other lifetimes. And you will add that to the lifetimes that you have actually, in time, gone through second by second, moment by moment. So you will add all of this together in a beautiful big composite, so that in this particular lifetime you can do the work that you came, that you wanted to do. Now, you have a lot of wisdom. You have, in order to tap this wisdom, to let it come out, you want to learn how to communicate it. So we cannot emphasize enough at this particular time on the planet to build what we would call your social skills. You know, your speaking, communicative skills. And you can do this just by having fun with your friends, but also being able to talk to a lot of different types of people. And we would suggest specifically for you, this would be a phenomenal opportunity for you to regather your gifts and your strengths, because what you have brought in this lifetime as part of your experience and the wisdom of the old soulness that you represent is memories, whether these are from really lived lives, moment by moment, or whether they're from imprints, you have brought in experience as being a teacher, as being a leader, as being a healer. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Right. You have come in a sense, connected to that. Now, when you came into this lifetime, however, you were dished up a whole bunch of crap, you see, that you have to maneuver through, as we have often told people. You know, in order to change a paradigm, you have to come into the old paradigm and bust out of it. Okay? And the old paradigm is a paradigm of scarcity, of fear, and of shame. And so we would suggest that for you to let your light shine, you need to be able to communicate you are, who you are, and you have to learn how to free yourself from that sense of scarcity. Do not worry. You are being supported. You will survive. You will do quite okay. But if you buy into scarcity or that limiting belief, then you can have opportunities for struggle, and you will get more information about the old paradigm than you even want. You see?
Yeah.
You see? And you want to be able to express love. And you want to be able to look at love as a healthy thing rather than falling into the games of love that your culture offers you. And particularly at your age, you're at a place where those games are so forced upon you. And those games are the games of what we would call codependence. Now, we did a workshop called Healing Your Relationships. It has not really been released yet, but it is available. And if you go to the website, you'll find the phone number to call, and you can call Daniel, who can, you know, send it to you if you would like. But this one talks about codependent weakness. This talks about relationships, what you need in a relationship, what an old relationship is about, what the paradigm is, and how to bust it. So you can do that. Then if you have scarcity, you can work with breaking your whole sense of financial limitation. You see, you can focus on certain things to break and bust this. But the most important thing, perhaps, to really clear is the shame. And the shame part is the part of you that feels you are not divine. And you know that sometimes you fall into it, yes?
Yeah.
You know, and then you let other people's judgments of you really affect you. You take them personally. You understand what we mean. Yes?
Yeah. And talking about the, about, you know, coming into this lifetime and doing what I'm supposed to fulfill, I do have that feeling, and I know I'm here to finish what I left off in my past lifetime. And I know something, I know a change is coming up, you know, a spiritual change is coming up.
Yes.
But I was just, and it's more so having to do with channel, because I know I can channel.
Yes.
Feeling energy, and spirit, I've been trying to work with my communication with spirit. And I was wondering, do you see spirit trying to make a more direct communication with me?
The spirit's sort of doing what, did you say?
Trying to make a clearer, direct communication with me, a more direct and clear communication.
Well, yes, spirit would like to work with you. The thing is that what we're talking about with this sense of shame, which is that fear that people are not, number one, may not take you seriously, may laugh at you, may reject you. This place is probably the place where you have the most difficulty connecting with spirit and allowing spirit to do work with you. Now, you are not the humble servant of spirit. We want to emphasize that. Okay, when you channel, you are not some kind of, you know, servant. You're not some rug for someone to walk over. You're not just this vehicle. You see, you are a co-creator. It's a new era that you're not about. You know, if you notice, in the old days, there would be what were known as trance mediums. The reason they talk about channeling now is because channelers are much more engaged voluntarily as part of this process. And that's important for you, is to be voluntarily a co-creator with them. In other words, you have to train spirit to work with you just as spirit will have to train you to work with them. Okay, and to open to this, you have to release your shame and the shame that was dumped on you in this lifetime so far. There's shame also that's hung over from other lifetimes, guilt that you brought in, that you have to release and finish. Now, most people, especially men, are just absolutely horrified at the idea of having to focus and pay attention to all those feelings of inadequacy or humiliation or failure or whatever that comes with the energies of shame. However, the core piece of shame can be shifted quickly, and that core piece of shame is the belief that you are not divine, that you're not worthy, that somehow or another you're a sorry excuse for a creation, and God has kind of left you here and abandoned you. Now, if you will heal that, then all the rest of it will in time be able to be healed. Does that make sense to you? Hello, are you with us? Ah, we feel we have lost it. All right. Well, we're going to finish this concept because actually it's extremely important for anyone who is becoming a light worker, anyone who is doing their work that's here on this planet. And we open up the lines here for another call at 877-876-5227. We want to point out that when you face this core limiting belief, that then you can take off what you might say the veils. You can take off the burdens. You can drop the darkness. You can step into the light of yourself. And your job here, you know, your mission, personal mission, is to become the brightest light that you are, to really own your divinity, to really exalt in it, to celebrate it. not from an ego point of view. Hey, I'm divine, I'm better than you. Now, everyone's divine. But for you to recognize it is something rare, you see. And so to go there, to allow that to open up, to allow yourself to step through that gateway into a more powerful gateway. And in that powerful gateway, you step into your light, into your divinity, and then you can radiate your truth to others. So that shame piece, very key, very critical. And men and women respond to it rather differently. Men have it more in the idea of visibility and performance. Oh, yes, hold on just a moment. There's another caller, but just hold on just a second. Let us finish this sentence and we'll be right with you. Men tend to hold on to it in performance, and women tend to hold on to it into their essential deservingness or essential worth and value. Now, both parts are with both people, both men and women, and they can play both sides. But yet, at the same time, they can lift out of this and become their light being. All right, so, caller, hello?
Alexis?
Yes.
Hi, Alexis, this is Carol.
Hi, Carol. Glad to speak with you.
Yes, good to talk to you.
All right, so what would you like to speak about?
Well, you know, I've been trying to think of an exact question, and I just don't really have that because I think the nature of what I'm calling about is sort of breaking down the old paradigm and standing in the midst of confusion about what are my responsibilities now, what
mm-hmm.
obligations do I keep. It's tricky because it's not what you might think they were from the old paradigm.
Yes.
So,
it's important to reevaluate all your commitments and obligations and so forth.
And even motivations.
And the motivations of when you took on those commitments.
Right.
And when you do that, what you do is that you step into your power, you step into your ownership of yourself as the light being, and then you step into your choice. And from choice, you choose from the point of view of a new motivation. You choose your new motivation. You choose your new sense of duty and obligation to those people that you currently have some kind of promise or commitment to. And you renew your commitments if you find that useful or you desire to do so from a place of complete and total choice. Because the old commitments or the old obligations, many of them did not come in the fullness of choice. You understand? You were not in the fullness of your power when you took them on.
Yes.
So, yes, you're absolutely right. You have to reevaluate the state of your being so that the choices that you make come from your power.
Right.
You know, a lot of people use, you know, like we are fond of sharing, is that we've had several people who use coffee, for example, or chemical things to get themselves motivated. To crank up their adrenal so that they can be motivated to do the things that they've agreed to do.
Right.
All right? But what you want to be able to do is to step into your day joyfully, willingly, in your positive commitment, looking at it as a positive experience, these commitments that you've made. Not as an obligation, as a burden, but as a sense of choice. And if you can stay in choice every single day, your power grows exponentially.
Okay. And I guess, too, I sort of had a question about, you know, how you're talking about going into the pain. And I've worked with, you know, that for a long time. But it seems like you can always go back and find a little bit more pain to go into when you ask if you want to. So it's like, where's the dividing line? Sometimes I'm looking
Well, you see,
for
to go back and look at old pains is an aspect of for the most part, it's very positive in the sense that when you go back there, you can find the part of yourself that you kind of left behind, a part of yourself that was hurt or damaged or a part of yourself that had to shut down.
Uh-huh.
And you can retrieve that part. It's, you know, in the shamanic tradition,
right,
it's called soul retrieval. But you can do it by choice yourself. You can go into that past, you, and you can find that past you, and you can retrieve her.
Right.
You see, and heal that situation. Yes, but after a while, if you do that a lot, you'll get to the place to where it becomes diminishing returns.
Right.
You know, and that's the point
pain.
That you're talking about. Yes, that's where the line is. Because you can go back there and you can, you know, okay, yeah, I found this little tiny piece. Oh, yeah,
right.
When I was 14, you know, this person looked at me funny.
Right,
you
know, right.
And you can come back and pull it through, and it won't be the beautiful, warm, happy hit that it was when you did that 11-year-old piece a year ago, you know? So when you get to that place, you realize that your pain will most likely then be a product of continued choice, that there's a benefit that you are having from the pain that you may not be seeing. It may not be in your past. It may be in your present, or maybe even in a twisted or distorted perception about what you need for your future.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you may be holding on to a pain in order to avoid becoming more visible.
Mm-hmm.
You see? You may be using your pain to get out of doing some stuff that you don't really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Or you may be using your pain in a sense to... And as an expiation of some kind of inexplainable and undefinable guilt that you may feel.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may be using your pain as your sacrifice, as your gift to other people. Oh, if I keep myself held back and I keep myself and I stuff myself with all those things that I would otherwise say and do and so forth, I'll do that so that they won't be upset, so they won't be offended, so they won't be hurt. This is my gift to them. Of course, that's pure martyrhood.
Mm-hmm.
But that pain can be there, too. But you see, pain has a purpose. Once you clear the past, if it's still there, there is some functional purpose for it. Maybe, like the one who channels us, had a lot of pain, and she discovered that she was fascinated with medical research. So she would give herself all sorts of indescribable pains and weird stuff so that she could go and figure out what it was. You see, and that satisfied her curiosity. It was almost like, oh, that's an interesting-looking disease. Let me try that.
Okay.
But, anyway, it's serious. She could have just about killed herself.
Right.
So she had to learn how to dismantle this curiosity because it was causing her too much pain.
Uh-huh, okay.
So look at it from that perspective and see, what are you carrying? What is your motivation, you see?
Oh, that was the other question, the last word that I didn't really know what exactly the question I had was, but when you were talking about new motivation earlier, I was like, okay, yeah, that's a piece of it. What?
Mm-hmm. That's what you were talking about with the motivation, yes.
Okay.
Because the motivation for suffering, you know,
uh-huh.
Sometimes it's actually based on a vow that you made at some point, and that vow turned into a hardcore belief that you must suffer in order to grow.
Okay.
Or you must suffer in order to be noble or spiritual or something. And some of that comes from, we would suggest that that you have in the past in other lifetimes or other experiences have made vows like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was what you consider to be a very high degree of spiritual dedication at the time.
Mm-hmm.
To give up physical comfort for the sake of your spirituality. But we would ask people, well, are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to die for your spirituality? And people probably say, well, yeah, those who are really dedicated. And then we say, are you willing to have joy and fun and to receive all success and abundance for your spirituality?
Yeah, that's the question now.
Yeah, and then
yeah.
They go, huh? They go, what? You see, so that's kind of the place where you are now, which is
right.
A very beautiful, pivotal place, and we sense that September can be a fantastic opportunity for you personally to make a beautiful breakthrough here.
Well, thank you.
All right, you're very welcome, and thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, God.
All right, farewell, and thank all three of you for calling and asking such questions and bringing us so many beautiful opportunities just to share with all of you trips and ways of looking at your journey on your path of power. We're going to leave now, and there's going to be a few seconds of silence, and then the one who channels us will be back with us. And so we say farewell until the next time that we will be with you, which will be on the two Mondays from now at the same time. And so with our love and our light, farewell. Well, hi, it's Ginger and I'm back. I'm glad you could be with us today. Next week at this time, it's Tall Cat Psychic. The Galexis Show, as you know now, by now, should know by now if you've been dialing in with us, is on the first and third Monday of every month. Again, for more information on Galexis, see galexisspirit.com. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, I send you my wishes for every success for you as you walk your path of power. Have a really great September. Bye now.